Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome. This is Louise Crook, your Keys to Clarity coach on KTC Radio. It's Wednesday the 18th of August 2010 and we have a wonderful topic for you today which I'm really excited to be discussing, and also with a wonderful business and spiritual leader who I've been in connected with for quite a while now, initially through Facebook, interestingly enough, and then I met him at Andrea J. Lee's Wealthy Thought Leader seminar in Vancouver earlier this year. And ironically, I had thought about having Mark on the show just because his message of marketing from the heart in one's business being very much in alignment with what I was doing and who I am. And so I was really excited to get the opportunity to meet him in person, hear him speak, and then really, you know, feel committed to asking him to come onto the radio show. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce our guest, Mark Silver. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
Ah, wonderful. I'm so excited to have you here, Mark, and I just want to introduce the topic a little bit more to our listeners and tell them a little bit more about you as well, Mark, but and get them to, you know, to get to know you a little bit and get a sense of who you are, as I have over the last couple of years. So our topic today is marketing from the heart, and with our guest, Mark Silver, who runs a business called Heart of Business. And today we're going to be talking about, you know, that feeling we get sometimes as solopreneurs, that's S-O-U-L, opreneurs, where we feel out of alignment when we are going through the sales and marketing processes in our businesses. And it just doesn't feel comfortable. When we get to that sales conversation, you feel that knot in your stomach. It doesn't feel right. All of those pieces that that you're doing in your business to attract clients, but doesn't always feel good. So Mark here is going to be sharing his pearls of wisdom on, how we can align ourselves, how we can come from the heart with our marketing and sales approach in our business. And, particularly when we're dealing with, we are business owners who are, dealing with transformation of some kind. It's healing, or it's spiritual, personal, or business growth. And, so I think often that is the case for us business owners who are in that kind of field of work, that it feels uncomfortable. We really do have that discomfort, and that, sometimes I've called that also the poverty consciousness of business owners in our sort of realm. And so I'm really excited that Mark's here today to talk about this particular topic and, really get into the nitty-grittiness of it. So I want to just tell you a little bit about Mark. Mark is the founder, as I mentioned before, of Heart of Business, and a successful business teacher and healer who brings an active connection with the divine to his work. Heart of Business has helped thousands of entrepreneurs and small business owners to integrate the nitty-gritty of business with the heart-opening truths of spirit in a way that actually helps the business be profitable and make a difference in the world. Mark has run a magazine, worked as a paramedic, operated a distribution business, been an activist, and worked in the nonprofit arena. He has failed horribly in business, and he has succeeded beautifully, each in turn. Trained at the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism in organizational and business healing, he is a Sufi healer and teacher. His vision is that in the process of your business becoming profitable and sustainable, your heart will deepen in knowing its own truth. Mark lives in Portland, Oregon. I have to say, I love that area of the country. Mark, I had the pleasure of staying there for about 3 months 15 years ago. So I know what that's like up there. It's beautiful. And he's there with his wife, Holly, and their twin sons, Sam and David, who are toddlers just about to go into their terrible twos, I believe, from the sounds of it, Mark. And you have your two cats, Raffi and Kira, and I love cats, so I have two of my own, so I'm with you on that. And as much rain as you care to soak up, yes, it's very rainy up that in that area of the country. I totally. That's why I don't live up there. I left England because I couldn't take the weather. So, you know, it's a beautiful area, I have to say. So anyway, welcome again, Mark. I really appreciate you making the time and coming and joining us today.
Yeah, delighted to be here. It's a topic that's close to my heart, and I think that we can all have a lot more ease with it than we know.
Yeah, I really hope so. You know, it's a topic that comes up a lot, you know, it's or certainly a thought that comes up a lot around this particular topic, you know, about how we can ease it. So I'm excited to have you here and to share some of your wisdom to, you know, ease that that process for our listeners and to get a sense of, you know, what you can provide, Mark, you know, to help our listeners, you know, move forward in their businesses with ease as well. So I'll be excited to hear a bit more about that later. But I'd love to hear, first of all, you know, as we dive into this topic, you know, what got you into coaching and, you know, sort of working as a business teacher or mentor in your business now, Mark? What brought you to this? Because you've done a lot of different things, so I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious too. It's like, how do we end up on these, and you know, these winding paths of life that unwind for us? I had been, I think two things are worth saying. One is that I grew up in business, that my parents ran a small business that my grandfather had, that other members of my family, going back further in history, have had small businesses. It's it's something I kind of grew up around. It's like, okay, yeah, you have a business, that's what you do. And it's interesting in that way. And yet at the same time, it didn't always look so much fun. I also ended up doing a lot of work in the nonprofit field eventually, including running a nonprofit magazine. And I ended up learning a tremendous amount about fundraising and about people who were wanting to change the world, me being one of them, wanting to really actively contribute to the world. And, you know, but running a magazine, I was also learning about advertising and I was learning about fundraising, like I said, and doing all of that, you know, associated work with running an organization. And it's as I came out of all of that, I looked around me and I saw friends of mine who were holistic practitioners, who were kind of struggling, who were doing different things, trying to do really good work and promote themselves. And I was saying, you know, I know something about laying out a magazine. Why don't I at least help you lay out your brochure or flyer? Because this was in the 90s before the internet had really, you know, taken hold. And people were like, okay, great. And it turns out that I ended up doing more business advising and support. My graphic design skills were never, you know, fantastic. I knew something about business, and people tend to, you know, they started getting clients and doing really well. So it kind of unfolded in that way.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
it's amazing how things do happen organically, and you know your talents do sort of, you know, come to the fore in certain circumstances, and that's exactly what happened with you.
Right. I had no idea I knew that much about business, but I guess I did. So, you know, and I've learned a lot more since. So.
Yeah. So I wanted to dive into this topic today, Mark. First of all, the question is it really possible to take the ickiness out of sales and marketing? I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm imposing or pushing something on someone, even though logically I know that if I didn't share my gifts and talents, those in need wouldn't have the opportunity to utilize them. So I really get that on a sort of a logical level, and it's something that I do expound, you know, time and again with clients, you know, that it's their duty to stand out and share their message. But is it really possible to take the ickiness out of it?
Well, I think it is if we understand something, understand a few things. I think the first thing that we want to understand is that the ickiness is a legitimate feeling. There have been a tremendous number of very damaging actions in our world that business has taken, and a lot of those have come under the guise of marketing and sales, and any of us that are wanting to do good in the world do not want to do that. And a lot of times the only models we have, or the only examples we have of marketing and sales, or the predominant models at any rate, are the ones that don't feel good. We don't feel like we on the receiving end of that, it doesn't feel good, and we certainly don't want to give that to anybody. And so, of course, you feel icky. And I really want to emphasize how important it is to that your heart is telling you some truth when you feel icky about it. It's not just fear. It's not just something to get over. It's not just something to push through and go, oh, well, you should just stand up and know. It's like, no, there's definitely the potential to be icky and to do evil, you know, so you want to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that I think is important to understand. The second thing that I think is really important to understand in moving forward is the true purpose of marketing. What is marketing really about? You've been talking about it. I sometimes fall into talking about it as, you know, are we attracting people? Are we bringing people to us? That is not marketing's job. If we think that this is when marketing starts to get icky, is when we think we have to create something that pulls people towards us. What is attraction? Attraction is love. Attraction is love. And, you know, I'm talking at a very, you know, at a spiritual level, at a deep level. So it's not always the romantic love. Sometimes, you know, the romantic love is one aspect of love, but love exists in every nook and cranny of existence, of this creation. And so I think anybody who's in business has experienced that client or that customer who said, oh, you know what, this just feels so right. I just feel like I'm fated to work with you, or I'm so, you know, you popped up at just the right moment. You know, this is love in action. It's like love moving the gravitation of our beings through, you know, around. And the problem is that if you depend solely on the actions of love to fill your business, things are going to be slow. And this is not because love isn't powerful enough, because it certainly is, but it's because it's too powerful. Love freaks us out. You know, it's like you encounter love, and you know it's going to change your life. You know it's going to turn the world upside down. Now, this sounds a little hyperbolic, I guess, when you're thinking about a business, especially some businesses. You know, it's like, well, you know, my product, you know, maybe my service is a world-changing service that's going to shake them up, and maybe it's maybe it's not so heavy like that. But any way you cut it, there's going to be some change in their life.
Right.
And so what's needed, and we see this on the spiritual path, I've seen this in my own being a spiritual student and a teacher, and I see it with other spiritual students. You know, it's like when you encounter change or encounter love, it freaks you out. What do you need? You need safety. Marketing's
it's that vulnerability, isn't it, that freaks us out?
What's that?
My sense is that it's the vulnerability that freaks us out.
Yes.
The risk,
yes, there's a lot of
getting hurt, or what do you think the fear is in the whole marketing? Do you think it's being rejected?
Well, I think it depends on each person's kind of core issue, because people have different issues that they kind of respond to. Some people have issues around rejection. Some people don't. Some people have issues around being seen. Others don't. Some people, you know, have issues around being effective. You know, it's like they need to they need to know that they did it right, and some people don't. So it depends on the, you know, like, do people have different kind of egoic starting points for where the fear's coming from.
Right.
But any way you cut it, there it is. And so marketing's job, the job of marketing, is to bring safety to people. It's just to deliver safety so that the right people can slow down enough and open enough to hear and heed the call of love. And that way they'll, you know, that way you're not trying to force people or manipulate people. People will just know, oh, this is right for me or it's not right for me, but at least they can make that decision from a place of safety.
Yeah. That's really interesting way of looking at it, Mark, and it feels so good just from what you've said so far.
Yeah.
So it just kind of it feels like a salve, you know, on your heart when you hear it put that way. It's really really interesting that. So marketing is about making people feel safe when you come from that space of love.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And yeah, it makes a huge, huge difference.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It makes you suck it in.
Yeah, it really is. It's just kind of taking that breath just to absorb that. So everything else we do, then, Mark, I'm assuming is part of the sales cycle.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting talking about the sales cycle because I think that people often, even if they use the word or they think about it, they maybe not really consciously thinking, oh, there is a cycle to a purchase. I think one of the untold truths in business, especially in small business, especially in the mentality of, oh, my God, let's get rich and, you know, hit six figures or seven figures in 90 days or whatever somebody's selling, is that for someone to make a significant decision, a significant purchasing decision, it takes time. And sometimes it takes a lot of time. People have to be in a state of readiness. And this is why I divide marketing up into three different journeys.
Okay.
And the sales process happens within the second journey of marketing. And a lot of what happens for folks is that they encounter somebody who's interested, but really, and they think, oh, they're interested, they're ready to buy. But really what's happening is the person is in what I call the first journey of marketing. So if I can take a minute to kind of describe these.
Well, I'd love that. I'm sure the listeners would too.
Yeah, well, the first journey of marketing starts when somebody is a stranger. They're struggling with, you know, they're a stranger to your business. They're struggling with some problem they can't solve because that's what that's why a business exists, is to solve a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other needs that it can meet around self-expression and, you know, making you money and things like that. But ultimately, the reason why it would exist and people would buy from you is because you help them solve some kind of a problem defined very, you know, widely and loosely.
Yeah.
And so that first journey is them having this problem, encountering you, and then they're beginning to ask two questions. One, do I belong? Are these my people? Is this my tribe? Are my values here?
Yeah.
You know, do I have to betray some part of who I am in order to associate with this business? That's the primary question. And the secondary question is, do they have something that can help me? And
this is really awesome, actually, Mark, because I think sometimes people do jump in without thinking about that sometimes, where they think about this, do I belong here? You know, and suddenly when they have jumped in, that they suddenly realize that they actually don't belong there, and so they jump straight out again.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a number of times. I mean, one example I'm thinking of is I wanted to learn a particular skill in business. I actually wanted to learn about copywriting some years back. And I was looking around to learn from somebody, and there was someone who was hitting all the needs in that secondary question, the things that I needed to solve.
Yeah.
But because of the way they were running their business and the language they were using, I'm like, I think that in order to learn from this person, I'm going to have to betray some part of who I am. And so even though they were hitting all of the hot button topics, you know, hot button issues for me,
yeah.
you know, I'm like, no, no. Mm-hmm. And so they make that decision. So if they, someone answers yes to those both, to those two questions, I belong here and they have something that's interesting or useful to me, then they enter the second journey. And this is that point of confusion I was talking about where someone you know,
right.
thinks, oh, they're ready to buy. They're not necessarily ready to buy. They're ready
yeah.
to be in relationship with your business. And this is why email newsletters, you know, in the old days when people would actually mail newsletters to the post, and sometimes people still do that quite effectively, blogs, you know, Twitter, Facebook, these different methods to have ongoing contact with someone while they're getting to know you, while they're kind of traveling through time and finding that point where, okay, my need is big enough and the timing is right in my life. I have the time and the money resources. I'm just ready to go. And that can happen quickly. There are certainly people who have met us and go, oh, my God, it's amazing, and have jumped in and purchased from us, you know, in a day or a week. But there are other people who have hung around for 2, 3, 4 years finally buying from us down the road. And a business is going to enter momentum when you can build up that list of interested people and continue giving to them, continue being in connection with them, continue being open-hearted and delivering safety to them. And the larger that list gets, the more people there will be who are going to be at that ready-to-purchase point at the same time. And that's when your business starts to feel full.
This is wonderful, Mark, because I think that you know, just bringing up the whole point around prospective clients not being ready the moment you meet them and not expecting them to, I think is a really important point, because I think that a lot of business owners, especially new business owners, you know, make that mistake. And then also business owners who have been around for a while but don't realize that is, you know, the case, can be very frustrated
right.
in their business, not understanding, you know, why they're not getting the clients walking through the door, and not understanding that there's this need to do the marketing piece in the business, you know, to actually reach out and connect with people so that they can start to get to know you.
Exactly.
So, I'm really pleased that you're talking about this, because I think this is such an important piece, and to know that, you know, the person that you meet, you know, might use your services, but that point of readiness isn't there at that point. It's not necessarily
right.
ready. Some people, you know, you might get lucky occasionally where you do meet someone who just completely resonate with what you're saying, and they have that need right there and then. But, you know, there's a good chance that most people want to get to know you and get that feel for what you do and, you know, who you are. And that takes time.
Right. It does. It does. And, you know, it's and that sense of frustration on the side of the business owner is very real, because, you know, we've got bills to pay, you know, you've got a mortgage, you've got kids, you've got a, you know, it's like, you've got groceries, you know, it's like, of course you have that need. And this is one of the reasons why I almost never recommend that somebody just say, I'm just going to quit my job and, you know, jump off and I'm going to, you know, it's like, you've got to be in a state of readiness to take on business, because it takes time to build. It can take, you know, somewhere between 1.5 and 3 years to really build it up. Some
yeah.
people do it more quickly. And in almost every case, when you look at somebody who builds really quickly, they have previous experience. There's some way
yeah.
where they've been self-employed before. They have certain skills that they've done in a different situation or different contacts, and they've had some sense of momentum going into it. But starting from scratch,
right.
never been self-employed before, oh, my goodness, please give yourself some compassion and some mercy in the process, and know that you're not failing if it's taking you 1 or 2 or 3 years to get your business going.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing as well, Mark, isn't it? That, you know, people coming into running their own businesses, they don't know what they don't know. So
right.
it's kind of, you know, being open to reaching out and learning from different people, you know, to help them get to that place of experience. And most of the time we learn the hard way.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Unfortunately. It's true. It's true. And, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of hard knock learning that I think happens for everyone. You know, even if you know, you can take a course, you can learn from us, you can learn from somebody else, you can have a coach, and you can avoid a certain amount of the pain and suffering, you know, that comes from learning blindly. But you're not ever going to completely eliminate the learning through failure or learning through, you know, hitting bumps process.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, sometimes you only really know that you need something when you do hit a bump.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not always obvious at the beginning unless you have someone sort of coaching you through that.
Right. Now, I do want to say, because I don't want to scare people off, because I was saying 1 to 3 years to build a business, it's like you can bring in money much sooner than that. It's not like there's no money coming in. It's just this feeling of having momentum and having some foundation under you and having some confidence that, oh, yeah, I can really earn a living from this, is going to take some time and some business development work over time. You don't have to wait, you know, a year and a half to 2 years before you're, you know, buying groceries with the money you're bringing in. That's not what I meant to say. And in the second journey is where that sacred moment, what we call the sacred moment of the sale, happens, is when you have that sales conversation where somebody is responding to an offer that you're making and they're already interested. They already know you and they're already curious. You're not making a cold call. You're not trying to convince them. They're coming towards you going, huh, you're offering something that I'm interested in and I want to talk to you about it. And those kinds of conversations can be a delight to have. You know, there doesn't have to be any ickiness in it already because you know there's already an interest there. And it's delightful. You know, it's like it becomes the opposite of icky.
Delightful. I like that, Mark.
I do too.
Well, the thing is also when you really can see that someone has a need and you know that you can help them, you know, with that need. And that you feel confident in that you know that you can help them with that need. I think that's the true marriage of the meeting of the minds, isn't it? You know, in those kind of situations. You know, it really does feel delightful and it feels exciting.
It does. It does. And there's some elements that need to be put in place. I mean, like all of these different pieces, you know, there are elements to the different journeys of marketing. There are elements to the sacred moment of the sale that, you know, it's like a lot of it is intuitive. And if you have an open heart, you can probably just feel your way through pretty well. And, you know, there are some important pieces. There are important pieces about, okay, how do you craft an offer that is compelling, that people actually want? You know, how do you prepare for a conversation? How do you stay in your own heart without popping out? You know, how do you conduct the conversation itself? How do you how do you ask the question, okay, well, you know, are you ready to buy? Do you want to buy? You know, that awkward transition. You know, there's different moments during this. You know, we actually teach a 2-day workshop on all the elements just around the sales conversation because there's pieces there, not because it's so complicated, because it really isn't, but because there's enough moving parts that in each part deserves taking some time with it so that you can really be in your heart and be effective with it.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I that's wonderful, Mark, that you do a 2-day workshop on that because I think it is something that is so important in the whole process is that, you know, having that sales conversation. And I mean, that's where the lifeblood of your business comes from, really. So it's, you know, but it's fascinating to know that one can spend two days really kind of refining that. And I can see why that would be, but it's, you know, I feel it's nice to take the time to just kind of explore what works for you and those different processes.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the time is spent kind of working on crafting an offer, and some of the time is also spent working with one's own neediness, because neediness comes up so much. It's like, how do you work with neediness in the sales conversation so you don't end up either shrinking away or, you know, vomiting all over the poor person? It's like, you know, you know, so that you can really stay in your heart. And then there's time spent just practicing the conversation and the different elements of how it unfolds. There's one thing, let me share one thing that I think people will find really helpful, is that there's a pivot in the sales conversation. We call it the pivot, is that you've been asking questions, we call it compassionate questioning. You've been asking questions, and you get a sense of, okay, where are they and where they want to go, and you, from your place of expertise, can see how to get them there, you know? And you go, okay, I've got enough information, and there's some other pieces. But then you feel that moment. I think a lot of us have been in those conversations where, I'm wondering, is this the time to ask them if they should buy? And yes, it is. That is the moment. It's called the pivot, and it's an energetic shift in the conversation. And everyone feels it. Everyone we've run through this workshop over the years feels it, but they don't always trust it. And what we want you to do is to teach you to trust that pivot, and when that energetic shift happens, to speak to it. Because if you don't speak to it, that's when the conversation goes dead. That's when the energy all drains out. That's when the person kind of just goes, well, okay, well, let me think about it, and they disappear. It's like if you don't speak to it.
What do you say, Mark, and this is something that I've experienced a couple of times, and I get very frustrated with myself and for the other person, in that, you know, I feel comfortable enough to listen to when that pivot moment happens. I do get that sense. But then, and you know that they are really in need of your services, and you know that you can help them, and there's such a meeting of the minds, or it feels like that. And you ask for the business, and they say that they have to go away and think about it, or run their numbers, or whatever. And you know, of course, that when that happens, the chances of them enrolling are fairly slim.
Well, it's not necessarily fairly slim. We've actually had really high results, even with people in that situation. The important thing to know is that once you've made the pivot, and there's a really good question to ask when the pivot happens that kind of helps the conversation be more grounded. I'll give you the question, even though it's kind of one of the nuggets out of the two-day workshop. It's such an important thing. The question is, so what were you imagining I might do for you? You know, or what were you hoping, or what were you thinking, you know, how I might help you? And what that does is it puts it into their court. And they either say, well, I don't know, what can you do for me? Or they'll give you some idea of what they're thinking of, and they'll say, can you do that? And then you have permission to talk, because they've asked you a question. And that permission to talk is the engagement. So then it moves forward, and people say, I have to think about it. Now, here's the thing. We've talked about safety previously. For someone to say no is really, really scary. You know, it takes more safety to say no than to say yes. So what you need to do is you need to conduct an assessment of whether I need to think about it, or if it's a polite no.
Yeah.
And so that assessment is done by way of establishing what we call the bridge. And so the bridge is when you say, I totally honor that. Of course you have to think about it. Significant decision. What I'd love to know is, since that we've been in this conversation so we can come to some completion, one, if you can let me know what you need, you know, what you need to think about, and how much time do you need? You know, what I want to do is, you tell me, I'm not pushing you, you don't have to be in a rush about it, but how much time do you need? And I want to set an appointment for us to talk again, to check, you know, to bring this to completion, either a yes or a no. And by setting that appointment, it becomes really clear, because if somebody says, you know what, I really don't, let me just call you, or if they kind of don't want to make that appointment, it's a polite no. You just let them go. You know, they really aren't going to buy right now. They're just not comfortable yet saying no to you, and that's beautiful. But if they make the appointment and they really just need to think about it, we've had very high enrollment rates.
I really love that little piece. that little piece, Mark, is huge. I think just making the appointment to discuss their answer, because that is just, to me, that is very helpful, just even in my own enrollment process, because that's the one step I think that is missing for me.
Well, I think it really does. I mean, we totally need to honor that. I mean, of course, people. I mean, I've been in that situation. I need to think about it. I mean, sometimes people are, they just, you know, like sometimes people say, well, I need to talk to my spouse or I need to run my numbers. And some people just say, you know, I just need to sit with this for a day and see if it continues to feel right for me. And I love that process. I'm glad people are doing that process.
Yeah.
And if you honor that process and give that to them and say, just, you know, in order to honor you and to honor me, let's set a bridge appointment. I don't call it tell them it's a bridge appointment, but that's in my mind. I'm thinking bridging that space. Let's set an appointment to talk just for 15 minutes so we can bring this to completion.
Yeah. That's beautiful, Mark. And just a quick question, just in terms of, you know, the client readiness. Do you think that there are certain people who want to test the waters but aren't necessarily ready in that moment, who might then come back to you 6 months later?
Yes.
You know, who you know, weren't ready at that point, who will then, you know, have had a real opportunity to get to know you and what's possible. That would also be part of the sales cycle.
Absolutely. I think, like, really understanding the larger picture instead of just the one-time sale. I mean, out of any sales conversation, there's four possible outcomes. You know, one outcome is, I've discovered that we're really not a good fit and I don't want anything to do with you anymore. That's a really, when you use the three journeys of marketing, it's a really rare outcome because they've already gotten to know you through the, you know, through the second journey of marketing, through that contact.
Yeah.
If you don't have the second journey of marketing, it's a higher percentage of people that do that, and that can be pretty disheartening. There's the potential of not right now, you know, and then they go, which is what you were just talking about, and they go back into the second journey. Then there's the I need to think about it that we already discussed. And then, of course, there's the exciting one where people say yes and they're ready to step in and buy.
All right. Awesome. Now, Mark, we actually have a caller on the line who'd like to ask a question. Are you ready to take a question?
Oh, yeah, I'd be delighted to.
Awesome. Okay. Welcome. You're on the air. Please state your name and where you're from and ask Mark your question.
Hello. My name's Christopher Adams. I'm from Connecticut.
Hi, Christopher. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, I just had a question. Like about the free model, if you're like offering consultation or business services, what do you think about like offering your service or product or a sample of your product for free so a client can get an idea of what you're about versus, you know, just charging right away off the bat? I would like to see what your thoughts are about that.
I think it's a great question, and I'm actually a huge proponent of offering what you can for free as long as it's sustainable for you. I think that's actually a piece of second journey marketing. I often, you know, we give away a lot for free. It's often in the form of written or audio content and not so much in terms of direct services, but we offer quite a bit. There is a way to offer a free session if you're in the, I don't know, are you in a service-based business where you provide sessions or?
Yeah, I help local businesses with marketing and new types of technology, and I'm a business consultant.
Yeah, so as a consultant, I think that from my perspective, it's probably better to provide content for free than to provide direct services for free. That's been my experience because it's pretty, I mean, think about it. You know, when you provide a service, it's not truly free. It takes their time. It takes some commitment. It takes some vulnerability. If somebody's really not ready to buy, they may not be ready for the kind of experience that's necessary, you know, to have, to receive a free service and make use of it. That said, if somebody's been around for a while, you can if you're very clear about how you do it, you can set up free sessions that are limited if they provide an assessment. If they don't actually provide a solution, and by a solution I don't mean you're going to be stingy about how you're being with them. You want to be really generous and open-hearted. But rather than trying to actually produce marketing for them or produce an answer, the value that you're going to provide them has to do with helping them discover what it is that they don't know and being able to really see clearly the terrain and starting to understand what will be necessary for them to be successful with what they're trying to do. And then they can take that information and try to do it themselves, or in many cases hire you. But you have to structure that conversation carefully. The main mistake that a lot of coaches make in giving away free sessions, this happens a lot in the coaching industry, is that they give a session that is a session that is coaching, and people get something and they get some benefit, and it functions like a Band-Aid where the pain is temporarily relieved. It doesn't really give them a full solution, so they don't really make big progress. But they've had enough relief that they no longer feel like they want to purchase. And so you end up in this funny middle ground that the person doesn't really get the help they need, and you don't end up with a client.
So so it's more like you want to kind of target what you're offering and based on what they need, so they see that it's a service that they're going to be able to use so that they want to purchase from you in the future?
Yeah, like for instance, if you're doing marketing consulting for small businesses, you may come in and say, okay, well, where are you now? What's going on with your business? Where are you trying to get to? What are you hoping to achieve, through marketing? And they may not have even thought of what they want to achieve. They might just say, well, I want more business. But by helping them get really clear about what their goals are and then saying, okay, for you to get from here to there, is going to take these next, these certain kinds of steps, and you give them an assessment, but you don't actually do it for them. That can be incredibly valuable for a business owner if they understand that that's what the session is about.
Wow, that's great. Thanks for that answer. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
That's really helpful, Mark, and I have something to add there as well, which is, I don't know if the callers or if Christopher or any of the audience are familiar with Andrea J. Lee's pink spoon marketing, where your pink spoon, like, for example, when you go into an ice cream parlor, is the taster. It's what you get to experience with the person you might work with. They've got an opportunity to see what's possible with you, but they still haven't experienced what it is that you would do with them necessarily. So they haven't had a taste of your coaching or your consulting or whatever it is that you do. Is there a way to give them a tiny taste of that, Mark, without compromising or going into that middle ground that you talked about before where, you don't end up working together? Is there a way to do that and do it effectively with results?
Yeah, I love Andrea J. Lee and her work with the pink spoon marketing. She's using a food analogy, and I'm using the journey analogy for essentially the same concept. I mean, all of this stuff is really basic marketing about how just it takes time. And what I've seen from what she teaches about that is that by giving them a taster, it's a very little taster. It's not actually, to give them a session, I think that I would follow the format that I'm proposing, and I'm guessing that Andrea would agree with me, although I shouldn't speak for her. She's a smart cookie, and she's given me a lot of insights over the years. But that I would follow the format that I'm suggesting and instead help people understand the scope of their problem rather than giving them some aspect of the solution. Because people, when they're stuck, often don't understand the scope of their problem, and that's such a huge value for them, and it further helps them understand why they might need help to get through it.
Yeah, thanks
a lot.
That's
great, Mark. Christopher, I'll let you in a minute. Are giving them a sense of who you are in that conversation, which I think is part of the taster, isn't it, really? You know, when they get that comfort level with you and they get a sense of the solution that could come with working with you, I think that in itself is probably the taster.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jump in there, Christopher.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, I think that's a great idea because I've been wondering, like, where to go with kind of, like, my content marketing that I use on my blog. And I think that would be a good idea to kind of go the route of having, like, an assessment type thing where trying to provide content for businesses. I like the idea of the content for the taster because I can leverage my time and create something that, you know, a lot of people are going to be able to use right away.
Yes.
Instead of having to pay for, you know, 1 hour of my time and get paid for 1 hour of my time, I can kind of leverage my time that way.
Yeah. Well, it certainly worked for us, and it's worked for a lot of other people. So
if you go to Mark's website, which is heartofbusiness.com, you'll see how Mark does it really beautifully. He has three offerings on there, and it kind of like sort of is sequential, and it really takes you through a process which really gives you a taste of what Mark's about in his business, and it then allows you to make that decision to take it that step further from a services standpoint. I think that's a beautiful example. Well, I mean, hopefully you would be the example, Mark, seeing as you teach this. But
well, it would definitely be, there'd be an integrity lapse there if I was teaching it and not doing it. So.
Yeah, so take that out, Christopher.
Can you give me that website again?
It's www.heartofbusiness.com.
Okay. I'm away from a pen and paper and a computer. I'm just driving to work. But my website's ChristopherAdams.com if you guys want to connect with me at all.
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks, Christopher.
And thanks so much for being on the call.
Thanks a lot. Yep, bye.
Okay. Awesome. That was a great contribution to the conversation. So thanks very much, Christopher, for that. And I think what we talked about there, Mark, was very valuable for our listeners.
Yeah, I think we hit a lot of major points in that little interaction.
Yeah.
If I can take one more minute, let me just complete the three journeys so we kind of
Absolutely.
Understand that, because we've talked
Thank
about
you.
The first and second journey. If I just mention that the third journey has to do with basically referral marketing, because it's mm-hmm. after somebody's purchased, they become a client or a customer, and then they get wowed by what you do. And, you know, we do our best to wow our clients. Hopefully, you know, hopefully we have more home runs than not. But when somebody really is touched by what you do and they like it, then you educate them and support them to send people into your first and second journeys, because a lot of times referral marketing falls flat because people don't know how to refer to you. They don't know how to send people to you, and instead they say, oh, you got to call so-and-so. You got to call Christopher. He's great at marketing. You should call Christopher. And, you know, it's like when that would happen to me, no phone calls, nothing. And it has to do with that safety factor. But by sending people into the first and second journey, educating your clients to send people into the first and second journey, it makes it safer. They don't have to – nobody has to call a stranger on the phone. Nobody has to worry about getting the hard sell, and they can go through the same process that the client did in terms of becoming a new client.
Yeah, that's a really important point as well, Mark. And I think, you know, it's interesting because I actually had a show on this last week, which was all about referral marketing. You know, I think that really is an area that a lot of business owners leave money on the table there, you know, and it's such a natural way to bring people into your sales cycle, your journey, your three journeys, as you said.
It is.
I love the way you put that.
I know. I love that metaphor. It really helped me a lot when I saw that.
Mm.
John Janch of Duct Tape Marketing, he's the author of The Referral Flood and Referral Engine. He's really, in my opinion, kind of the master of referral marketing. And, you know, I think we do a good job of teaching that, but we tend to focus more on first and second journey teaching. And I think that John is really fantastic, and anybody who doesn't know about duct tape marketing, or that's the website, or .com, or if you haven't seen his book, he doesn't know me. He might know my name from somewhere, but I just think highly of him, and he's a great resource.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And he's I'm connected with him on Twitter, and he comes up with some interesting comments. And I think
yes.
I have one of his books. I can't remember off the top of my head, but Duct Tape Marketing is a very it's certainly a powerful term, so you know, which I think he coined. So
mm-hmm.
it certainly is known to me. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
So Mark, is there anything specific that you would like to add to this conversation that you think our listeners need to know about taking the ickiness out of this process?
Well, I think that something that I would add just has to do with trusting your heart. It's something that we started with, this sense of when you have a sense of ick, when you have a sense of revulsion or something, there's something true there. Like, you may be reacting to the whole thing. Some people go, ooh, yuck. There's a yuck there. I don't ever want to do marketing or sales.
Uh-huh.
I want to say honor the yuck, but look more closely, because chances are you're reacting to something in it and not the entire thing. And if you can open your heart to learning about marketing and learning about business and knowing that business itself, you know, it's, so many of us are doing work that really at its core is somewhat sacred. It's something we really care about. We're doing work that we know we're helping people in the world with. That the container, the vehicle for you delivering that work is your business. And your business can be beautiful. Your business can be sacred. Your business can really honor your heart. And so if you're having some revulsion to something, honor that revulsion, but look closely and find out what piece are you reacting to that maybe can be replaced with something more beautiful and more healthy, rather than just rejecting all of it and saying, well, that I'm just no good at that, because it's not true. If you have a heart and you care about people, then you automatically have what it takes to be effective at marketing and sales.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is that, you know, I have come across some holistic practitioners and coaches and, you know, people who are really focused on helping people and, you know, who have said they want nothing to do with marketing, that they're only going to rely on referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's marketing.
To me, what's that?
That's marketing. Referrals is marketing.
Yeah. But, you know, to leave the other pieces out, you know, I think is doing a disservice to them and to the people who they could be helping.
Yeah, well, and it's also ineffective. And, you know, some people will luck out and some of them will struggle.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mark, I just want to ask you how you're doing for time, because we can go over the hour. I just wanted to see if there were anyone else that might want to call in to ask a question if they had one on the top of their minds. And in the meanwhile, we could just share with our listeners how they can, you know, reach out to connect with you or to learn more about, you know, what you do, Mark, or you know, to, you know, just to give them the information they need to do that.
Sure. I probably have a couple of minutes. I do need to wrap up because I have some other appointments.
Okay.
But I just invite folks to come to heartofbusiness.com and check out our free resources. Check out our newsletter and toolkit. We have the free Business Heart Toolkit there. See what you think about us, you know, and the content that we're putting out, and see if it resonates with you before you spend a dime. You know, it's like I want to make sure that we're being helpful. And the commitment that I'd like to ask from everyone who's listening is that whether or not you get the help from us, if you need the help, get the help from somebody. Find someone that you resonate with. Find someone that you trust. Find a business that provides providing the information in a way that you can really hear it and receive it and put it to use. Because marketing is relatively the same. People teach it in different flavors and different nuances and different insights, but the basics of effective marketing is not going to change radically. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to miss something huge, you know, going from one person to another. Find where you can get it and learn. Whoever you're learning for, learn. If you have something that's important in the world, open your heart and learn and get out there, because we are in urgent times right now. And this is not to panic, and it's not to focus on the negative, but it's to just acknowledge that, you know, there's some doubt about how things are going to turn out in the next century. And we need people who are really making a difference in the world to show up and help our economy change from one that's really dysfunctional to one that is much more life-affirming. And, you know, where resources and money are being spent on things that are truly needed. And
that's really, really important, Mark. I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And also, you know, that you mentioned earlier, and we put it in the copy for this show, you know, is that we are living in a dysfunctional economy and marketplace, and also, you know, living in a world, you know, where you know, we are very consumer driven, and you know that money feels icky. So it's kind of, you know, aligning with those values and really, you know, realizing that with an energetic exchange of money, that we are able to make a difference and to do what we can in that way, I think is just so, so important.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Wonderful. Well, I really want to thank you for being on the show today, Mark. You know, it's been a long time coming, and you know, I know when I first reached out to you on Facebook, I had mentioned it to you, and that was a long time ago. So, you know, things come around when they're meant to, I believe.
It's true.
So it's all in perfect timing. So thank you so much for being here today and sharing your wisdom. I know that what you shared today is really important information, and I hope that our listeners will visit your website and download the free information that you've got there, because it's a wonderful start to getting real clarity around some of these things and to start that journey. And I want to remind our listeners that the website to go to is heartofbusiness.com, and you can connect with Mark there or see what he has there. So, Mark, I want to, you can either stay on the line or you can drop off. I'm going to tell our listeners about next week. But I just really want to say thank you again. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Delighted to be here. Thank you very much. And I just wish everyone the brightest blessings in their future. Peace.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah.
All right. So after such an amazing conversation with Mark, I just want to share with you, everyone, that we have an exciting show for next week. As you probably are becoming aware, listening to the last couple of months, we have the hot seat for thought leaders in health and wellness on the last Wednesday of every month. If you know someone that you think should be on the show talking about some area of health or well-being, please do send their information in or ask them to connect with me at louise@keystoclarity.com. Next week we have actually a fellow host on Blog Talk Radio. Her name is Connie Bennett, and she has a show called Gab with the Gurus. And she wrote a book called Sugar Shock. And next week we're going to be talking about the sugar addiction that many of us who are unaware are actually addicted to sugar, which is no real surprise when you think that we live in a nation where obesity is it's the number one killer, and diabetes is a chronic condition. But there are so many other things that are affected in our bodies by sugar. And so Connie's going to come and share with us her wisdom on the subject of sugar. And I know that Dr. Oz recently endorsed her her book. So, you know, what she has to say is obviously, you know, important, and she makes some great points that we should really sit up and pay attention to and educate ourselves on. So I'm looking forward to being educated by Connie next week, and I really hope that you will join us and listen to that show. And then following on from that, in September, we have an amazing lineup of wonderful guests, and I'm excited to have Scott Stratton, the unmarketing guy, and Milana Lashinsky, and Nicola Bird, all of these wonderful business leaders and entrepreneurs who are connected with people like you and have a lot to share. So please do make sure that you come and join us and listen. And if you can't listen live, make sure that you listen afterwards to the recordings. They are always available, and you can just scroll through the archives to find those recordings. All right, so blessings, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed the conversation today and got a lot from it, and I really look forward to connecting with you next week. To your shining success. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye now.